Well, good morning. You guys all look very pretty and nice and energized this morning. Hope you guys had a good weekend. If you don't have a Bible, it is imperative that you have a Bible. So raise your hand. One of our student leaders would love to grab a Bible. We are here on Sunday mornings because I believe that God's Word is the authority in our life. That God's Word is what guides us, directs us, gives us advice. God's Word talks about everything that needs to be talked about. And so my hope on Sunday morning is that we engage in Scripture. The Bible is an incredible way to do that. I would encourage you to bring your own Bible so that you're engaging and tabbing and highlighting and writing notes in your own Bible. I also encourage you that Sunday mornings isn't the only time that you're touching or opening your Bible. And so make sure you're bringing your Bible. If you don't have one, I want everybody to have one. So raise your hand. One of the student leaders would love to get you one. I also want to encourage you to engage this morning through your bulletins. You're going to see that we've got notes in here and then all sorts of good stuff that Jess goes over with you. And engaging is an important part of this morning. So I want to make sure that you guys are doing that. So grab whatever you need so that we can dive in. Well, hey, we are in a four-week series where we're discovering the mysteries of paradise. Discovering the mysteries of paradise. We're talking about heaven. What is it? What isn't it? Is it a place? Is it not a place? Does it exist? Does it not exist? And I got to be honest with you guys, I'm so stinking excited that we're talking about heaven. For a variety of reasons, it's a subject we don't talk a lot about, which is interesting because as you're going to see through this series, there's nothing more interesting and awesome and cool than heaven. My dad used to explain it to me as a kid that it was 100,000 times better than Disneyland because as a kid, I loved Disneyland and I was trying to wrap my head around heaven. But yet we don't talk about it a ton. I think one, we don't talk about it a ton because we talk about heaven, it is also then talking about death, right? And so we're afraid oftentimes of death. And so maybe we don't talk about it for that reason. Maybe we don't talk about it because we just don't know that the Bible talks a lot about it, which it does. What we think are mysteries actually aren't so mysterious. And so when we talk about discovering the mysteries of paradise, God's Word, the Bible, actually uncovers most of these mysteries that we're going to talk about over the next three more weeks. I think maybe one of the reasons that we don't talk about it is because it's controversial. I think it's becoming more and more popular to not really believe in a heaven or a hell. And then I think oftentimes we don't talk about it because when we think of heaven, if we were honest, some of us may actually not be excited about it. That we think it's just these spirits, or you think of the paintings where a little person is sitting on a cloud and you're just singing all day and you're like, I don't know how fun that would be to just be on a cloud and just be a spirit. And what does it even look like to just be a spirit? And am I just going to sing all day? Because I don't really have a good voice and I don't really like to sing. So, I mean, okay, cool. Heaven's great. I get to live in eternity and I think that like I won't be sick anymore if I'm sick now. And so that's cool. But I think one of the reasons we don't talk about it a lot is because we don't know a lot about it. And what we know or think we know doesn't really sound that cool. So why think about something that maybe doesn't sound that cool? Well, hey, I don't want to claim to be an expert on heaven, which is why there are a variety of really awesome theologians who have studied this way more than me, where we're kind of pulling from this series. And so I want to introduce you to a couple places. Wayne Grudem has an incredible book called Bible Doctrine, where he breaks down the biblical explanations for a ton of the things that we try to wrap our head around in Scripture. Heaven, hell, how were we created, sin, all those sorts of things. And so I bought a handful of these. These are in the back. There's a section in here just on heaven, and I'm pulling a lot from this. This is also just a great resource to have. This is a gift from me to you. So those are in the back. So if you want one of those, grab those. I'm pulling a lot from that. Then I'm also pulling from a series Randy Alcorn did called Heaven. And so his main book is a really big book, and you'll kind of see I've tabbed up some of the places that we're going to be hitting on today, and this is in the back as well. And this is probably, if you really want to dive in more, Randy Alcorn has been studying heaven for the last 30 years and has documented and written down, and there's more scripture and passages in here than you could ever imagine. And I'm not going to pretend to be able to hit on everything. We're actually going to hit on a really small portion of this stuff. And so I've kind of picked the things that I think would be best for us as high school students. But this book is in the back. And this is a gift from me to you. I have a ton of them. So grab one of these. You don't have to read it cover to cover. But then, for those of us who like Cliff Notes, they've got a smaller kind of Cliff Note version that just goes through a lot of questions that we ask about heaven. So for instance, one of the questions may be, will there be animals on the new earth? And so he addresses that in here. And so lots of stuff. We've got tons, I think about 100 of these. So tons of these in the back. You can grab one of those as well. And then this is really neat, a resource that we're providing for you. 50 Days of Heaven. This is a 50-day devotional that if you do morning devotionals or afternoon devotionals or evening devotionals, this is a devotional that for 50 days just gives you all the different passages that are about heaven. And then it kind of walks you through and it gives you some time to just sit and meditate and pray on heaven. So all of those resources are in the back. Those are the resources, of course, on top of the Bible that I am pulling from this series. So make sure that you guys are using those in the back. All right. I just realized I don't have my clicker. So can one of you guys run that up for me? Okay. So let's first do a review on the series so far. So we started last week. We didn't meet on Wednesday night. We had Halloween. Hopefully everybody had an awesome Halloween. But here is the review so far of kind of what we talked about week number one. I want to start us off week number one of realizing our destiny. Realizing our destiny. And here is the realization of our destiny. Two main things I want you to pull from last week. Number one, we will die, but we will live forever in heaven. We will die is a fact. Unless Christ returns soon, we will all die. We all have the same disease called mortality. Now, maybe we have another 85 years to live, whatever that might look like, but here is the real fact. Every human being besides Jesus, well, and even Jesus, every human being before us has died. There's not one human being before us who hasn't died, and there's not one who won't, unless Jesus comes back soon. So we will die. But here's the cool part about our destiny. We will live forever. We will live forever in heaven as Christians. So the second point from last week was heaven is a place. So if we will die, but as Christians, for those of us who put our faith in Jesus, we get to live forever in heaven. So then let's talk about heaven, right? If this is the place as Christians that we're going to live forever in eternity, if that's the hope that we have, then let's talk about it. Well, congratulations. That's what we're going to do during the series. We're going to talk about it. And the main thing that we just hit the surface on last week that we're going to talk a lot more about this week is that heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. And I think that's important, and we're going to dive way more into that. But heaven is a place. It's a place that we will live forever. We also talked last week about this idea that is heaven or hell kind of the destination, the default destination that one goes when we die. And it was important to start the series by saying that we are all born sinners. And that scripture is really clear that God cannot be with evil. And so the default destination for humanity is hell. However, the good news is that for those of us who put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross, that he came down and lived the perfect life and he died and he rose again, that we get to live in this place forever called heaven. And we do that not by works. We don't do that by anything but putting our faith and belief in who Jesus is. So that is where we started last week. And now, for the next 3 weeks, my hope is to get us excited. This isn't a series about how we get to heaven so much, although, again, as I just reviewed, we did talk about that a little bit last week. But this is a series about heaven. What is it? What isn't it? And my goal for this series is very simple. I want us to get really, really excited for what we have to look forward to. And that is really helpful in times of life that's really hard, where we sit and we're like, man, this world is jacked up. Well, guess what? There's a really cool place that is a million times better than Disneyland that we get to sit forever. And so let's discover those mysteries. And that's what we will be doing. Heavenly Father, God, as we open up week number 2 this morning, Lord, thank you for heaven. And God, thank you that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins, to raise again. And for those of us who put our faith in your Son, Jesus, we get to live forever in heaven. And so, Lord, be with us. Excite us. Give us imagination, Lord, and creativity as we go through your word. God, that we could imagine what this might look like. That we can create pictures and thoughts in our minds based off of your word. Lord, that we would get excited for this place called heaven. Lord, we lift this to you in your name. Amen. So 2004, I graduated from high school. Okay. And when I graduated, I had my kind of fun summer. Then I went off to the University of Oregon. Now, before I get to kind of my first experience at the University of Oregon campus, let me kind of go back a little bit to me in high school. So grew up in this little town. Well, it's not little anymore. It was little at the time, called Riverside. How many of you guys have been to Riverside, know Riverside, have family in Riverside? Awesome. Just a few of you. Okay. So this is where I grew up. And my whole family for like 3 generations grew up in Riverside. I had my grandpa was a doctor in Riverside. My other grandparents were really well known in Riverside. Grew up at the same church in Riverside for like 50 years. And so we had these roots in Riverside. And I remember by the time I left home for Oregon, Riverside was like, I couldn't go to the market without running into someone's mom who I knew or a friend of mine or someone who's babysat for me or whatever. Like, it was kind of this cool home. It became home. And one thing that makes something home is it's known, right? It's familiar. And so Riverside was my home. I was known. I liked it. I was comfortable in it. People knew me. And so then I decided to apply to a school out of state where not one person I knew was applying, going. Nobody from my school was there except for this other kid who played water polo and we didn't know each other. And so it was like this whole new experience that I knew nothing or nobody. Oh, awesome. Hey, John. Oh, so it happens when you fall asleep on the keyboard. Just kidding, John. And so I left for Oregon. That's kind of funny. And I get to Oregon's campus, and within like a few days, it becomes really clear to me that this is not my home. Nobody knows me. Like in Riverside, Chad Merrihew meant something. There was a reputation behind that, either good or bad, right? There was people who knew my family. There was people who went to my dad as their dentist. Like there was weight. It was my home. I was known. And I remember walking around campus and I'd introduce myself to people and say, hey, I'm Chad Merrihew. Thinking that people would be like, oh yeah, your dad's my dentist. Or oh yeah, Merrihew. Oh yeah, your sister was in my class and I was your teacher. Or oh, I was your first grade teacher, or whatever it was. And it was so obvious so soon that people were like, oh, cool, Chad, Mary, what? Cool, awesome, going to class. And I remember calling home, like, sad. You know why a lot of people leave college in the first quarter? Because they're homesick. Because they miss their home. It took me probably 2 years to make Oregon my home. Now, it took me each week. I got known more. I made more friends. I got more comfortable. I got through the homesickness. I'd call mom, you know, as much as I needed or whatever those things were. So it was gradual. But I remember the first 2 years when, like, vacations or holidays would come up, I would always say, oh, I get to go home for Christmas. Oh, I get to go home for Thanksgiving. And it was funny to me because by my junior year, I was at my home. And I remember Christmas was coming to an end. I was getting ready to go back to school. And I remember, I don't know who I was talking to. I remember saying to that person, oh, I can't wait to just go back home. They're like, what, in Oregon? And I was like, yeah, I can't wait to go home. And that like stuck with me because I was like, oh, I view Oregon as my home now. It switched into this place. And why did Oregon become my home? Because I grew to know Oregon. I grew to love the city. I grew to love the people. I had spent 2 years studying it, in essence, right? And so Oregon became my home. And so what I want to talk about this week is this world is not our home, or is it? Have you guys ever seen those shirts before that say, like, this place is not my home, or, you know, there's Christian companies that will kind of say, make these sayings of, like, this isn't our home. And so is this our home, or are we just passing through, or is this actually our home, or is it a mix of both? Well, we're going to answer that question this morning. So here's the first thing that I think is important as we look at this morning that we need to realize, and we kind of need to take a step back to page one of our Bible, or chapter one. So if you're taking notes with us this morning, first thing is this: paradise was lost. Most of us who have grown up in the church, you read Genesis, and you see that Eden was this paradise. Eden was this place that was perfect. They had fruit and trees. They wore no clothes because they felt no shame. Eden was this paradise, as it's called in Genesis. But then what happens to that paradise? Well, the paradise was lost. It was damaged. It was ruined. How was it damaged? How was it ruined? Glad you asked. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to remind us. Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to go to verse 17. We're going to go verses 17 through 19. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Most of us know this, but this is the story of creation. This is also the story of the fall. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, it says this. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Let's pay attention to that for a second. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Genesis chapter 3 changes it all. The narrative changes. Adam and Eve are created in paradise, in Eden, this perfect place. They sin, they go against what God had commanded them to do, and everything changed. Sin entered the world. They all of a sudden recognized they were naked and felt shame. Now Adam has to work the ground, and there's sweat and there's toil and there's pain. The ground is now cursed. I think we miss this sometimes. We aren't the only ones affected by what happened in Genesis chapter 3. The earth was also affected. We all, our bodies were affected by what happened. So we have to be reminded first that paradise was lost. Paradise was lost. Genesis, in essence, tells a story of paradise lost. It may not currently be our home, but in its original state, Eden is our home. And so Eden was lost. The damage Adam and Eve did caused all the suffering, death, pain, and loss that we experience now. Sin resulted in this damaged earth. But there was paradise, okay? Now here's the second thing that I want us to do. I now want us to jump to the end of the Bible. And I want us to look at this. Paradise will be regained. Paradise was lost. Paradise will be regained. I want you to turn to your Bible, in your Bible, to Revelation chapter 21. Genesis tells a story of paradise lost. Revelation tells a story of a praise regained. Genesis tells a story of a paradise lost. Revelation tells a story of a paradise regained. Tells a story that we will get back. That at some point, Eden will again be a part of what we experience. So I want us to turn to Revelation. Now let me just kind of get us ready here. Turn to Revelation 21. I want everyone to go there. We're going to read about 2 pages this morning. Okay? So I want you to be there in your Bible. Everybody make sure you have your Bible. And I want you to open up to Revelation. It's the last chapter in the Bible. And I want us, you're going to see throughout this series, we're going to pull from Revelation quite a bit. Because Revelation tells us a lot about heaven, the place that we get to look forward to. And one of the reasons, as I said earlier, that we don't talk about heaven is because we haven't studied it. We don't know about it. As we start to uncover it, you will only want to talk about it. And so Revelation 21 through 22 is one of the main places that it's talked about. So here's what I want you to do. As I read it this morning, I want you to follow along. I'm reading out of the NIV, which if you have a Bible from us, it's probably NIV. I want you to follow along, and I want you to use your pen. I want you to underline things that you've never known before, like something that you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Circle it. Something that you're like, oh, this is interesting. Put a question mark next to it. But I want you to try to like, don't look at this as academic. Don't look at this as just reading because I'm telling you to. But I want you to try to engage in what's being said here. And as you do that, I want you to start the process of engaging your imagination. That as they talk about heaven, I want you to start imagining these words in your mind. Imagine what is actually being talked about. Can you do that for me? Okay, so it's going to take a little bit to read, but we're going to do it together, and I want you to engage in it. Jesus talks. We see his words in chapter 22. I want you to hear this depiction. Revelation 21, a new earth and a new heaven. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Lots of cool stuff right just in there, right? No more pain, no more suffering. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers, and all liars. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gate, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pause for a second. End of chapter 21. There's a lot there that we're going to talk about and a lot that we won't talk about. But I hope that you sit, and as we talked about last week, heaven is a place. Is that starting to make sense? They're talking about all sorts of tangible things that we get to start looking forward to. We'll break it more apart. Okay, let's jump in to 22. We're going to see Jesus starts to show up in his words here. Eden restored. Now, it's important to see Eden restored because what did we talk about in Genesis? Eden was paradise, but paradise was lost, and paradise will also be regained. And we now find ourselves living between those two. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse, which is what we just read about in chapter 3 of Genesis. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who'd been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets, and with all who keep the words of this scroll, worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to those things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." And that ends the story of the Bible. So last month, we started off with the intelligent design, the story of creation in the book of Genesis. And now we find ourselves just finishing the last part of God's word. Come, Lord Jesus. There is a lot there. And I questioned if we should read through it all. But one thing that I want to be so important to what we do here is that on Sunday morning, it's God's word that I am trying as best as I can to help articulate us to us in ways where we grasp it. Because we would all agree that the Bible can be hard sometimes to grasp, right? That we read through that and maybe we fall asleep five sentences in or whatever it is. But my hope is that God's word is what we go to. And I just have the humble privilege to try to help us. And that's why I want to point you to those resources of guys way smarter than me, that I would encourage you to dive in to this stuff even more. And Wednesday nights is where we really dive into this. So come on Wednesdays. Okay, so we read a lot, and I want us now to look at what some of just the high level. Again, we've got to kind of stay high level in some regards. So number three is this morning. We are promised a new earth. You're going to hear this terminology a lot in this series, and you started hearing it last week, a new heavens and a new earth. Oftentimes, when we think of heaven, we don't know exactly what it is that we're thinking of. And so you've got two kind of things that we need to consider when we think of heaven. One is the intermediate heaven. That when a loved one dies, if I were to pass away today, I get to go be with God in an intermediate heaven that's way cooler than this, but it's not my final paradise or resting place. And you're hearing that language now coming out a lot. That at the end times, a new earth and a new heaven that is restored, that is paradise regained, that is Eden regained, will come together. And that is the new earth and the new heaven, which is where we will live forever. So you'll hear Christians talk about new heavens and new earth, and now you're starting to get an understanding of that's actually what most people refer to when we talk about heaven, is that is our final paradise resting place. And it's promised to us. Heaven, the new earth, is promised to us. So, based off what we just read, what things can we expect to find on the new earth? The reason I chose to go here today is because I wanted to think through the things that I wish I would have known in high school and the things that get me most excited currently. And this is one of the things that gets me so excited, is to start to imagine what heaven will actually be like. So here are, I'm going to list about, I think, 9 things that we can expect to find on the new earth. Number one, atmosphere. We can expect to find atmosphere on the new earth. Number two, we can expect to find mountains on the new earth. We can expect to possibly find water on the new earth. Buildings, trees, houses, cities, streets, people. These may seem really basic, but as we start to imagine, and we started this last week, as we start to look at the language that Jesus uses in John and throughout scriptures, we look at the language used in Revelation. This is a tangible place. It's a city. It's a country. It's a place. There will be buildings. There will be cities. There will be houses. There will be trees. There will be mountains. I don't know about you, but that gets me really excited. I had this boring thought when I was a kid that, like, I'm going to be in the clouds. No, like, picture Mount Everest for those of you guys that are outdoorsy. Mount Everest is currently under the curse that happened in Genesis 3. The Mount Everest that will exist in the new earth, I can't even imagine. And then to be able to possibly hike Mount Everest without pain or loss of breath or fear of dying, but yet still maybe having the adrenaline that makes us want to hike Mount Everest. What? That's awesome. To be able to be in a place where there are people, where there are houses, where we live in a country together. On the new earth, we will find earthly things. Maybe take, like, write that in your side margins, but this was important for me as I was studying it this week. On a new earth, we will find earthly things. The Bible calls it not a new something, a new earth. Earth is a key word there. Can you imagine earth without trees, people, or cities? Can any of us? No. Who created earth? God created earth. So a new earth, we can imagine to find earthly things. And not only can logic and reason help us imagine that, but scripture, as we just read, lots of earthly things being described, not just in Revelation, but throughout other parts of scripture. Why sometimes do we assume the new earth will not have these? I don't know. But now we get to learn that, man, this new earth, I can't even imagine. Number four, we will have resurrection bodies in heaven. Okay. this is the part that we talked briefly on last week that I kind of want to use to close us out this morning, because this is the part that just like gets me so stinking excited. So we can expect to find on the new earth people. We expect to find people. God created people. People were in Eden. People are now. People will be in the new earth. And so we hear that we will have resurrection bodies in heaven. If you're going to grab one of the books on your way out this morning, and if we run out of those, I have extras. Chapter 29 in this book just talks about resurrection bodies. That's all they talk about. And so I'm pulling from chapter 29 because, again, as I looked at this morning of like, will this be our home or isn't it, or what is our home? Well, to me, one of the coolest parts of our home is that we will actually have bodies in our home. Like, I am excited to run in the cities and through the new earth. I'm excited to hike. I'm excited to be with people. I'm excited to look at my grandma in her face and hold her cheeks and hug her and tell her how much I missed her. And I get to do that with feel and with touch and with a body. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the best place to kind of go where we're going to uncover a little bit of this. 1 Corinthians, it's in the New Testament, but it's backwards a little bit. It's after Romans. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 40 through 49, not nearly as long. And then we're going to talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to pray and worship and hopefully leave really excited to hang out in heaven together. All right, are you ready? 1 Corinthians 15, 40 through 49. You know what? We're actually going to start in 35. We're going to read that whole section here. If you have an NIV, it should be titled The Resurrection Body. The Resurrection Body. We're discovering the mysteries of paradise. And as I said in week one, they're not as mysterious as we think. Many of us probably didn't know that right here in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the resurrection bodies. But we're going to read it. We're going to talk about it. So let's start in verse 35, the resurrection body. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. And I encourage you to continue on reading, and we're going to focus solely on this Wednesday night. So if you don't come to small groups on Wednesday night, come. This is the passage that we're going to sit in, and we are going to wonder and explore and ask a question about our resurrection bodies, because I think it is awesome, and I want us to talk about it. Okay, so things we can expect our resurrection bodies to have. Things we can expect our resurrection bodies to have. Beauty. we can expect our resurrection bodies to have beauty. And not all beauty is going to look alike. Racial identities will be continued in heaven. If you go to Revelation 5:9 and 7:9, you will see this idea that ethnicity, racial identities will continue. We will have beauty, but we'll have no need for cosmetics or for touch-ups. No need for surgeries, no need for makeup. I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, oh, you are so beautiful, just naturally. You don't ever need to put makeup on. We got married. She said, what do you want? What's one thing that you want for a wedding? I said, I don't want you to wear any makeup. And she like punched me in the face because she's like, every girl wants to wear makeup on their wedding. I was like, I know, but you're so naturally beautiful.
Did she?
She did wear makeup. But she said it was mild makeup. So what can we expect? Beauty, a natural beauty that doesn't need cosmetics, that doesn't need touch-ups. Beauty that is different, that's not like everyone else, where racial things exist and we are different in our own way. No disease. If you have any sort of illness or disease or know of somebody who's always in pain, this is really fun for you, right? Like for your body to always feel good. Five senses. This is good to think about. We can, let's go through the five senses here. We'll be able to see heaven's beauty. We'll be able to feel the creation. We'll be able to smell the trees and the vegetation and the ocean and the air. We'll be able to taste heaven's fruits. We'll be able to hear its sounds of animals and the ocean and the breeze. We can expect to have five senses. Who gave us our five senses? We miss the creator who created us. We think it's far-fetching for whatever reason, but it's not far-fetching. He created us with these things in paradise that we messed up, and he's getting us back there again. So we'll have beauty, we'll have disease, we'll have our senses, we'll have age. Now, there's a lot of these things that have a lot of different ways to go. So if you care about age more, there's a lot of different theories on this. Augustine, a very famous old school Christian theologian, he says that he thinks that we will all be the same age that Jesus was when he died, which would be 33. You've got people that say that you're going to be the age that you died on earth is the age you're going to be in heaven. Other people will suggest that whatever is like your best physical age is the age you will be there, right? So like my dad passes at 90, but like his peak was like 55. Then like he's going back to that. I don't know. And nobody really knows. Again, lots of speculation on that you can have fun with. I think it's okay to have fun with that speculation, with knowing though that we don't know, but there will be age in heaven. There'll be no halos in heaven. Now you can study a little bit about us shining in heaven, that God's glory will shine and will be the sun. And so when we're in his presence, you can make the argument, as we saw in scripture, when people were in the presence of Jesus, that they shined afterwards. But there's nowhere in the Bible that suggests we will have halos. So if you were excited about that, I'm sorry. If you just were not excited about that, which I wasn't, because it felt weird, because it doesn't feel like here. And I'm like, I don't know if I want a halo. Like, it's going to bump and get in the way. There will be gender in heaven. Do you know that there is one person who currently has a resurrection body? Jesus. Yeah. Jesus has a resurrection body. Jesus does. He is the only one that has a resurrection body. Jesus' resurrection body had gender. It is safe to assume that gender will be something we can expect to have. Clothes. This is actually talked about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, and Revelation 6, 11. But we actually are told that we will have clothes in heaven. And then power. Now, I put this in kind of italics, and I put a little asterisk next to it because this is very much debated, but is one that we can kind of think about. Now, Jesus' resurrection body had power, okay? We see examples in John 20:19, Luke 24:31, and Acts 1:9 of three types of powers his resurrection body had. One, he kind of had this ability to appear. So he just like, it says that he just like appears and is there, okay? We also see that he disappears. You also see this encounter where he kind of like goes through a door. And then you see that he defies the law of physics by in Acts 1:9, he ascends, right? Have any of you ever just floated before? Nope, not one of, like, he's breaking the law of physics and he ascends into heaven. So you can make the argument that maybe we'll have some sort of powers. Now, Jesus is God. So it's also fair to assume that he is also different than us in certain ways. And so it's not totally apples to apples, but we do see his resurrection body have some sort of power. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we can defy gravity? Maybe, maybe not. Does that mean that maybe we can like be in this city one day and then like in 1 minute be in the next? I don't know. But we do see that Jesus's resurrection body did have those things. And then where I want to end us this morning is in 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. I mean, no wonder Peter is so excited, and he writes this in his second letter. In keeping with his promise, we are promised paradise. We are promised eternity in the new earth. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward. Of course we're looking forward. We get to hang out in the coolest place ever with no pain, no suffering, with the best version of ourselves. Like imagine if you never had to come home from school sad. Imagine if nobody ever hurt you again. Imagine if you never had to worry about losing your parents or your siblings, or your best friend. Imagine if you could go on the most beautiful hikes where smog doesn't ruin the view, or where any sort of things don't block the beauty. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. As the worship team comes up, and as I close us in prayer this morning, I want to leave us with a thought of the week that comes from a man named Paul Marshall. And he says this: our destiny is an earthly one, but an earth nevertheless. Our destiny is a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to talk so much more over the next 2 weeks about what does it look like there? What can we do? Do we reign? Do we rule? What does that look like? What does it look like to live in a place where God lives? Like, that's kind of cool, right? Like, to live in a city and a country where Jesus in his resurrection body is hanging out? Like, what does that look like? Man, there's a whole other sort of things that get so excited. I don't know about you guys, but man, life is hard sometimes. Paul says to live is Christ. We're called to live here. We're called to introduce people to who Jesus is, to give them hope in the new heaven, because heaven isn't our default destination. Not everybody will get to go to heaven. So to live is Christ, but to die, Paul says, is to gain. And the more that I start to uncover the mysteries of paradise, the more I start to say, yippee, yes it is. Man, to be able to be in the outdoors all the time, to be able to have God's presence be the light, to be able to sit and be with the people I love and experience culture and to experience people and animals and stuff in this way that is beautiful and is right. Yes, to die is gain, which is why as Christians, our hope is in heaven. We don't have to be afraid of death anymore. Which is why when you hang out with a lot of Christians who are older, who have learned, who are sanctified, a lot, most Christians aren't afraid of death. Well, why not? Because you don't have to be. Death is cooler. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you so much for the people who were a part of this. God, thank you. And God, I just want us to get excited. Lord, I'm so excited for Wednesday night. Like, I can't wait to get in small groups and talk about these things. Because, Lord, my mind wasn't privy to this in high school. And I wish it would have been. I just assumed we were floating around and just singing to you all the time, which is cool. But I love that you promise us a new earth, that you promise us paradise restored. That's awesome. I can't wait to hang out with all these guys in this room in heaven together one day. God, I can't wait to walk into your city gates that never close. Can't wait to see the beauty that exists in heaven. But I can imagine, because man, was that sunset beautiful last night. The dark orange, the yellows. Oh, I sat in that sunset last night in your beauty. I can only imagine what a sunset, whatever that looks like, is going to be on the new earth. God, we get excited. Some of us this morning, we need to be excited about something, because some of us this morning come in here with heavy hearts. God, others of us come in here with happy hearts, and we need to be excited this morning as well. Be with us, God, as we worship you this morning. In your name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing, Jesus, we love you.